broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I don't give a damn about my music, and I don't give a damn about you spending it on
it. Do you think he's anti-Semitic?
I think he's an...
No ownership expresses this kind of contempt, ugliness towards...
When stubborn inequality still persists...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thank you, Margaret, for joining us that first hour on Mel Gibson and what ails him. And I've been told to ask people if they want a version of her singing that, really? If you want a version of Margaret singing Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, you can listen to the download tomorrow at philhendryshow.com. That is the official website of the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Go on over there and watch our video cast of the show right now. We've been told, as a matter of fact, that people who say, well, I don't really listen to the radio, you know, and I don't really, and people say, well, you got to listen to Phil Hendry. Well, I don't really listen to the radio. We'll at least watch this. And they'll flip our video cast on, and people are like sitting there staring at this thing for hours. Stunned, yes. Frightened, maybe. But nonetheless, they're watching it. They're compelled. So in order to get our show, you really have to watch our video cast as well as listen to all the downloads, get the archives, get the downloadable archives. In fact, starting tomorrow morning, as we told you, we were expanding our archives. 2001 and 2002 are getting loaded in. As of tomorrow, the entire month of February 2004 is now a download. So now we have 2 months of 2004 that are fully downloadable. And we're going to go all the way back to the beginning and make sure that everything that we have in our archives is available to you, not only as something you can listen to when you want to on the computer, but download it if you want to. That is why our website really is better than any other radio website out there, period. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier will be joining us. Mr. Dozier is not only a high school football coach, not only a member of the board at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He's not only a high school teacher and has worked with kids for many, many years. He's also assisting in coaching the Little League team out there. The, Glendale Coast, I think, is the league as they get set for the Little League World Series. This is an interesting world, the Little League World Series, and it's one that a lot of us participated in as young boys and maybe some girls out there, too. And the Little League World Series is underway. It will culminate there in Williamsport, Pennsylvania in August the 20th. Mr. Dozier joins us from Glendale, California, where the Glendale All-Star, the Glendale Coast All-Star, at least, team, did not make it past the first round?
We did not, no. And they're good kids. And it was.
Were the kids must have been devastated, huh?
You know, it's our, you know, and we put a lot of pressure on them. There's no question about it. I took over coaching the team, Phil, when a very, very good man by the name of Jim Batchelor had a heart attack and was hospitalized and could not continue as the coach of the team. I took over along with Dale Keebler, and I think we did a pretty good job. We got through the first round, and we had and we felt we had a pretty good shot in the game today, but...
You guys lost. Who did you lose to?
We lost to Simi Valley. Simi Valley, 8-7. And we felt we gave it everything we could. We had a good rally going in the late innings, but we just could not keep it going. And we've got a team of kids, I think, that achieved maybe more than they should have. But I felt they should have achieved more. I put a lot of pressure on the kids. And
how did the parents take it? How were the kids? I know, you know, I remember playing Little League, and you cry when you lose a game.
Oh, yeah, they did. And we all did. We all got a pretty good cry, and I tell you, cause it's been a long time, and I really felt they could go further, a lot further. I made the decision, and it was entirely my decision, because of the pressure that I put the kids under. And it had been a long spring. And the long June, and I made the decision that, well, let's go get a case of beer and let the kids unwind, because this is not a natural environment, really, Phil, for a 13-year-old boy.
Now, how old are the kids that you were coaching?
Yeah, the eldest is 13.
Okay, these little leaguers, major leaguers.
Yes. And the advice. environment of Little League is more and more high pressure. It's not the same as it was when you and I played. I remember the year that I played, Granada Hills went all the way to the World Series.
I think I remember that, yeah. Were you on that team?
No, we lost to Granada Hills that year. We were one of the teams that lost to Granada Hills that year. I played out in South Bay, and so I just felt that the kids deserved it. And I told Jim Jeffcoat, who is one of the fathers that was helping us and had been in charge of the snacks and things like that this season, I said, go ahead and get a case of Coors Light and bring it back. Now, the parents reacted in different ways. Some were very angry. Some tried to understand. The parents that I appreciated the most were the ones that came to me and sat down and said, I want to hear your side. I want to tell you my side because I'm a parent, but I also want to hear your side. Those are the ones that I'm going to respect and to, lend my, give them my reasons. And but anybody that comes at me like they got their claws out, they don't know me. You know,
well, Coach, did you say you gave 13, 12, and 13-year-old boys beer?
Yeah, they are 11, 12, and 13. They are under complete supervision of myself, Jim Keebler, Jim Jeffcoat, and some of the other parents. And I said to Jeffcoat, go get a case of beer, and let's let these kids unwind for the first time in their lives because they've been under the kind of pressure that I don't think anybody, not even an adult, should be under.
Well, what kind of pressure were they under? I mean, it's a Little League game. It's a Little League team. Was it an all-star team, right?
That's how you get to the Little League playoffs, yeah.
All right, so it was an all-star team. What kind of pressure were they under? I mean, baseball is supposed to be fun, and they're young.
Well, there's nothing really, when you talk about organized sports, Phil, there's nothing really fun in the sense that you mean it, in the sense that I mean it, about organized competitive sports at this level. This is not a pickup game of basketball. It's not a sandlot game. It's not a game of over the line. It's not any of these. It's not a game of stickball. This is organized Little League, regional playoff action, and the winner moves on to a higher level. And then you've got travel, and then travel is the same as if you were on a college team because now you're traveling. What happens when you travel? Well, you have to have curfews. What happens when you have curfews? You've got players that are breaking curfews. I mean, all of that stuff we were looking at. And you have players that are getting involved in things they shouldn't. All that stuff.
With 13-year-old boys? You know?
With 13-year-old boys, with 15-year-old boys, it doesn't matter because this is a very, very sophisticated and high pressure. I heard you talking about Mel Gibson being under pressure. But I'll tell you, I'd love to be under that kind of pressure. You know?
Well, I was talking about that because I wasn't saying that. Margaret Gray was saying that, our guest. She was saying that he was under a lot of pressure because of the multi-million-dollar business that he's in. Now, Little Leaguers are not exactly under that kind of pressure, are they? They're not under the kind of pressure that he's under.
No, we're not talking about that kind of money. But they're under the pressure of a national television audience. They're under the pressure of parents who expect a lot of them. More to the point, they're under their own pressure. They put themselves under pressure. And then they're under, when they play for me, they're under pressure. Because I know they're young, but I expect out of them the very best. And when they lost, and those boys started to cry, and they were upset, and they felt so down, I said to Jim Jeffcoat,
You went out and got a case of beer for them.
That is correct, yeah.
And those boys drank that.
The kids had, when you say they drank it, Mr. Hendry, I didn't stand over them and watch them empty every single can. I said, you boys have earned this.
And do you expect them to go out and start drinking beer now?
Of course I don't. It is not legal for them to drink beer.
Well, then what about, this is what I'm saying. You gave them beer. There were parents who obviously were upset.
Those are the parents. The parents that came to me and said, I want to hear your side. Those are the ones that I listened to. The parents that came at me like they were going to chew me up and spit me out, You know, they roll. I let them. They roll right off my back like rainwater, like water off a duck. But the ones that came to me and said, "Let me first hear your side. I want to know why you feel the way you do." I appreciated that.
And now the controversy extends because this is now something that the board at Belmar Academy is going to take up. You may not be allowed to coach Little League again.
I don't see that happening. I can tell you this much, Mr. Henry. It isn't so much something that's going to happen to me. It's how is Little League going to evolve? And these boys were under so much pressure that I said, all right, let's go get a case of beer and let's talk about this. The kids needed to talk. They needed to get it off their chest. They needed to sit around and for the first time in their lives talk like men and find out what happened, what went wrong after all the planning, after all of the hard work. How could they let this get away? And if they needed a beer to feel a little bit like maybe they can walk this earth like a man for a change instead of like a loser. Because in point of fact, Mr. Henry, they lost in the playoffs for the Little League World Series. And they had a very good team. So do you feel like a loser? Yes. Do you want to feel better than that? Yes. Let them have a beer so they can bark at the moon, get it off their chest.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier. Put him on the hold there. As he was coaching one of the Glendale Little League teams that lost in the opening rounds of the Little League World Series playoffs, and as part of the after game, the kids sat around with the coaches and drank a case of beer, which has left some of the parents nonplussed, some of them upset, and the coach says he'll talk to the parents that want to hear his side of it, but he will not talk to the parents that just want to scream and yell at him. 877-876-PHIL. When a kid is under a lot of pressure, even if it's a 13-year-old kid in sports, shouldn't he be allowed to have a beer after the game, after a big game that he loses? A 13-year-old. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Phil Henry Show here from Los Alamitos. We have Vernon Dozier on the line talking to us about his Little League team that was knocked out of the first round of the Little League World Series playoffs. Now, you were talking about giving these kids beer, and you were talking about the pressures that they're under, and you were talking about the difficulty it is for these kids to relax after a game. And in no uncertain terms, you're basically saying that they have the right to relax like adults.
I mean, I think I wouldn't say that they have the right to relax like adults, Phil, all the time. I think in this instance, when you have these young people and put it together with the fact that they have a high-pressure situation of trying to win the first round, trying to make it up to the quarter and semifinals, just to the regional, and then to the Western Regional and so forth. This is a very difficult thing for a young person playing Little League ball. We do expect a lot of them. We have young people on our team. We had a very good pitcher by the name of Tyler Hitchcock. I felt so bad for this boy. He's got a, and I shouldn't say this, she may be listening, but I told you, some of these parents, if they want to hear me out, then they can, I'll sit down and talk to them. But if they want to come at me like they know how to coach a baseball team.
But these are the parents of these kids that you gave beer to.
I understand that, yeah.
And don't you think that they would have the right to be angry?
Well, you have to listen to what I'm saying, though.
Well, don't you think they would have the right to be? I'm going to tell you right now, Coach, if it was me and it was my son and I found out that you gave my boy alcohol after a baseball game, I'd be angry at you.
Well, you could be angry at him, but I'm not going to talk to you.
You're not going to talk to me? What if I insist on talking to you?
If you want to calm down, I'll talk to you. If you want to sit down and hear me out and have an exchange, we can do that.
What if I'm not interested in having an exchange?
Then you're not going to, you won't find me. I won't be anywhere that you can locate me.
You're going to hide from me.
Like Vernon Dozier doesn't hide from anybody. I don't hide from anyone. I'll I'll be right out there, but you just won't be able to find me. I'll be right out there wherever. I'm not going to hide from you. But when it comes to the guidance of a teen athlete, Phil, I know more in these situations than a lot of these parents. They should listen to me and trust what I can offer these kids. This boy, I'm going to tell you about Tyler Hitchcock, a boy whose mother, and you know what, I wasn't going to mention her name, but your challenge of me has now, frankly, it's angered me. And so now I am going to mention her name. It's Tyler Hitchcock's mom. Everybody knows who she is.
Oh, you're going to blame that on me?
Well, sir,
you're going to blame the fact that you have just broken the anonymity of this family on me. Why?
Mr. Hendry, you said that you'd come at me. And
if you gave alcohol to my son after a Little League game, a 13-year-old, 12- or 11-year-old boy...
Even after all the pressure he was under that you put him under,
That I put him under. I would want to talk to you.
Well, good luck finding me.
And yet you say that you would... What do you mean, good luck finding you? I don't understand that.
Good luck finding me. I'm not going to talk to you.
But you don't hide from anybody.
No, I don't. I'm out there for... I don't hide from anyone, Mr. Hendry. I stand right out there in the open. Anybody they want. Want to walk right up to me and look me in the eye. But good luck finding me.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. And
what I'm saying is, I'm not going to go out of my way to try to find a guy who wants to make a big problem where there isn't one. Now, this boy I was telling you, Tyler Hitchcock, he's got a mother. And I'm going to say this. This woman's a train wreck. First of all, and I will say this, and I apologize, she's hard on the eyes. Secondly, she is a pushy, I know she's a single mother, but that doesn't give her the excuse to pretend like she's a man. And to come out and tell me how to pitch the boy, how to work, you know, when he should pitch, what rotation, where in the lineup. And
She's being like any other parent, giving suggestions. Do you ever just say, I don't want to talk to you?
Mr. Hendry, I'd be happy to do that, but this woman, I told you, the woman is a train wreck, and this is not unique. As a coach, you deal with this all the time. You try to give the best you can to these parents, but they test your stamina, they test your will to live. While I'm trying to help their kids, while I'm trying to help their children be the very best they can be, the parents test my very will to live. And I think that's something people need to understand.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to a phone call here. Tim in Las Vegas. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I can't believe this guy's for real. All he's doing is teaching a kid at 12, 11, 12, and 13 that the quickest way to cope with losing is have a beer. I mean,
it's
ridiculous.
That's not true. What I'm doing is... No, sir, what I do after this very, very big game, this was a big loss. This is the biggest loss these boys had ever encountered. They'd been under a lot of pressure all through the season, all through the last couple of seasons. And, yeah, one time I said, go get a case of beer.
Sir, I coach all-stars. I've coached Little League. I've coached club ball teams. I've coached high school. I'm going to give my high school players beer after they lose a ball game. It's just ridiculous. A 13-year-old, it's not... I mean, that's not fair for you to make that call. You know, that's not fair for you to make that call. If my son's out there playing and you give him a beer, to me, you just taught my son, hey, the way to cope with losing is have a beer. And what's that going to lead to? A bunch of alcohol?
They see their favorite... No, you know as well as I do, sir. They see their favorite players on TV when they win the championship. They got a bottle of champagne. And they have a beer. And
you know that they don't drink that champagne anymore. They just spray it around the clubhouse.
They're 11 and 12 years old. They're still very, you know, skeptical.
No,
the play. And they're not old enough to make a decision.
I understand that. But
I've never given my baseball players beer, ever.
You may never have done it, but that necessarily doesn't mean that it's not a good idea, especially when these boys want to talk. They want to go back over the experience and find out where they went wrong. And what better way to do that than to have a beer, to sit down and let it out?
13-year-old kids having a beer, let it out? You're talking about these guys as if they're experienced adult baseball players who are playing for money, who are playing professionally.
Well, what do you mean? playing for money. What's the difference?
The difference is a professional player who plays for money is playing for broke. It's a guy who's playing literally for his future, for his family. He's in a profession, and it's going to be something that he's going to look at with a critical eye. A 13-year-old kid, the only thing he needs to look at with a critical eye is what? I don't know. You know, his grades, his schooling.
So you want to turn him into a P-U-S-S, and I don't think I have to spell the rest of that.
No, that's not what we're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you talking about?
Phil Henry.
P-U-S-S.
To the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Tomorrow, I'm told, February of 2004, available for download. Every day, every show of February 2004, available for download. In Los Alamitos, California, is Vernon Dozier. He coached the Glendale Coast Little Leaguers. They lost today. This past weekend to Simi Valley. They are out of the Little League World Series playoffs. And we're talking about coaching young people. You are very open in saying that you said to one of the fathers, go get a case of beer. What did he say?
John Jeffcoat was amenable to it. He's got a son on our team, and he recognized what we were trying to do. We wanted to give these kids an opportunity for the first time in their lives after listening to these parents. See, here is something I think a lot of people are missing. The parents of these young people are, in many cases, feel so onerous. They are constantly yelling at these kids and screaming at these kids and screaming at me. And the pressure that they get from the mothers are particularly vocal. The pressure and these children are in tears. I've seen them. They'll sit next to me in the dugout and cry. And swear, and I let them use curse words because I said, you don't use that language in front of your parents, but you can go ahead. And like I told you, this one boy, Tyler Hitchcock, his mother is I there's no words to describe it. I can't.
All right. So how does this all figure into giving her son beer?
How does it figure into give? Because when the boy sits there and weeps like a woman, I've got to give him something that I've got to try to make that boy feel like he's a man, like he can walk the earth as a man and not go home to his mama. Because let me tell you, Mr. Henry, one of the problems we've got with these kids today, and you know it, is that they are overweaned and they are spoiled rotten by their mamas and their dad. And I have tried, so if I give a boy a beer so he can go home like a man and not like he's going home to his dad, then that's what I'm going to do.
877-876-PHIL. Boy, you sound very dismissive of the relationship these kids have with their parents. Elaine in Portland, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, please. Yes.
Vernon, you should be
arrested. Yes, ma'am.
I would have you arrested. I would call the police and have you arrested if you gave my son beer after a baseball game. If you gave my son, any adult who furnishes alcohol to children should be arrested. And I have a 13-year-old who plays baseball. And you would, A, never, ever coach in this state again. I can't believe that parents would let
you. I don't know that I've never heard of one Little League team that's ever come out of Oregon that's been worth a pinch of you-know-what. Okay, one baseball team out of Oregon that ever does anything.
That's not the point. We're talking about.
I don't care. My kid is there to have fun, and he's having fun. That's
no, ma'am,
point.
This is the Little League World Series. This is the playoffs. This is the playoffs of the Little League World Series. This is serious.
I know. How wonderful that you made it there. But making it there should be the accomplishment. The fact that they didn't get any
farther. That's your opinion. That's your opinion. That's your opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. But I would
coach,
have you arrested.
What are you
going
to have me?
It is illegal to furnish children with alcohol. Don't you know that?
Illegal where?
Any adult knows that.
Illegal where?
Illegal.
If you ever had alcohol in your home, have you ever given it to your daughter or your son for a birthday anything like that? Well, some parents do. Some Italians do, as a matter of fact. Are you going to have Italian parents? Are you going to have Italian parents arrested because they give the kids wine? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Parents join.
So what I'm saying is,
it's not some guy at a field, at a baseball field, that
might have been
for 3 to 4 months.
I'm willing to bet that your kids have already drank. I'm willing to bet that. Yeah,
whatever.
You're laughing about it because you know it's true.
That's not the point.
You're laughing because you know it's true. I'm willing to bet that I...
Well, why don't you address the point if they had you arrested?
I'll talk to parents that want to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to somebody. This woman here, she thinks it's funny that kids drink.
No, I think what you are is funny and hilarious.
I'm listening to you, ma'am.
I think that you're...
I'm listening to you, and this is you. This is you.
You should never, ever, ever coach a child again. You should not be around children. There are rules
that like
people like you.
I don't like... You know, can I tell you something? I don't like... women laughing at me.
You don't like women,
it
sounds like, at all. You call
Where'd
the
you
other
get that?
Train wreck and she's not good to look at. It's like, what the hell does that matter? Her kid's playing on your team and enduring and helping her child. What you're doing...
Well, she's running out onto the field. She's telling me how to coach. She's telling me this and telling me that. She's a train wreck.
No,
everybody's looking at her and going, oh, man.
No, she didn't run on the field. But you're telling... the people that heard kids crying like a woman. But you obviously don't like women.
You pick everything apart, don't you? Everything that I say.
All right, look, you did say all of those things, and Elaine, you're right. You have not yet addressed, and thank you very much for your call, you haven't addressed the legality of this.
I understand, Mr. Andrew, there's a question, but I'm also telling you that sometimes, even if you run the risk of running afoul of the law, you have to do something to help these kids. You've got to do something to help these kids. Because this one boy, Tyler Hitchcock, his mother goes running out onto the field. She's a train wreck. Now, you're laughing, too.
No, how many times are you going to say this about this kid's mom? Hard on the eyes, a train wreck. Here is Angelo. Angelo, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Coach, I think these kids deserve better leadership and a better opportunity than you. I'm a combat veteran. I'm a high school wrestling coach for 5 years, and I have never once even considered offering alcohol to a kid. You kids have they get to state finals. They have tough matches all the time.
Right.
They're disappointed.
That's right.
Alcohol is not the way to not the example to set these kids. Oh, yeah, have a beer. Yeah, this will make you a man. That is ridiculous. Just
can I tell you something? Mr. Henry, and I'd like to tell this gentleman something too. The other day they had on the TV this deal, this World Cup. I'm sure. Did either one of you gentlemen see that?
I didn't know.
All right. Guess what? The Netherlands coaching staff was doing the night before until about 1 o'clock in the morning, drinking in a bar.
Yeah, and they lost.
Okay, hold on.
They need strong adult leadership.
Yeah.
What those kids needed after that game.
What did you say, Henry?
What did I say? They lost.
A good example.
All right, Angelo, hold on. What did you say, Henry?
I said Netherlands lost.
So what? They were in the World Cup. You ever heard of it? WORLD, World. That's not America. That's not... And what does this gentleman say, Angelo?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to anybody? Angelo was saying they're 13-year-old kids. They're not the Netherlands coaching staff drink until 1. That's the coaching staff, by the way. That's not the players.
What they need is a strong adult example of doing the right thing, showing them how to stand up like a man without alcohol, showing them how to stand up like a man.
That doesn't help them win. You know, you're teaching
them
how to lose. I'm going to teach them how to. You're teaching them how to lose. I want them angry.
I want them angry, sir. National runner.
Don't you want those boys angry and ready to? Don't you want those kids angry after a loss and ready to tear it up the next time? Of course you do. I want my boys angry.
And
the best thing to make them angry is to give them a few beers.
The best thing to make them angry and get them ready is say, guys, we'll start back up next week. We'll be back ready, and we'll be back in there. But you do not get
kids
out at all. They deserve better than
that. That's not getting them. You're not getting them angry by saying, come on next week, and let's start back. That doesn't do anything. Get them angry. Get them so mad. Give them a beer and let them throw something out of a window. Yes, I said it. Let them throw something out of a window.
That's right. That's ridiculous. Angelo, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, was this guy picked on as a kid? I mean,
how about it?
Did you do it? Have you ever won anything
to me?
In your life? Yeah, I'm talking to you.
To me?
Have you ever won anything in your life?
I've won
a lot.
Ego
just
That's
so
why
big
this is my method. This
guys?
Is my method. This is my method. I've won a lot. I've won 5 state Division V championships. All right.
With what age group?
High school football.
High school.
Yeah. Yeah.
High
football.
School. Little bit older than 13. Huh? Little older than 12 and 13.
Look, I know my business, sir. And my business.
I don't think so. I think you got an ego you just can't solve. You're playing for yourself. You're not playing for these kids. You're not trying to
most certainly
anything.
Am.
You're trying to lift some glory that you never. You tried to lift some glory you never had.
Do you know what the name of our stadium? You know, I don't need that. You know what the name of our stadium is? It's Vernon Dozier Stadium. I've already got my glory.
Oh, you
do?
Huh?
They named the stadium after me.
And how many kids do you have?
In the school, or I don't know what you mean.
No,
how many kids do you personally have?
How many kids do you have?
Biological kids? I don't want it.
Is there any other way?
And I'll tell you.
Is there any other way?
My kids at school. I teach classes. I teach juniors and seniors. I've got my football team. I've got my science club. I've got all kinds of kids. Kids that I care about.
They're not your kids.
Kids that I care.
They're loaned to you.
When a kid comes to me bawling because his mother's a train wreck. When his mother's a train wreck, what do I do?
What is with the train wreck thing?
This kid comes to me. His father is a Pizzo. P-U-S, and you can spell the rest. His mother is you got to wear. You know, I would say something to you, sir. You ought to have a boy at 13 sit down next to you in the dugout and say,
I got 2 sons, sir.
It's rough.
Both of them in the military now. Both of them played college ball. They didn't come home worried about whether they won or lost the game. They knew they were winners all the time. Every day they were a winner.
What does that mean, they were winners? Winning at what?
They weren't losers because they lost a game. They lost plenty of games. It's how the people treat them. It's how adults treat kids that turn them into losers. And you're the one that turns these kids into losers.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to make them feel like men. Give them a beer.
My kids played at Washington State, sir.
In what?
Football.
Well, I have no way of knowing whether you're telling the truth or not.
Well,
but I can tell you this.
I can tell that you don't have an ego at all, do you?
I've got a big ego. There's no question about it. Any kid that embarrasses me is going to wish that he had
15 years old. If I was one of these, sir, I need to pour some beer down a kid's throat to get him to man up. If I was one
get
of these
him to
parents,
man up.
You would,
that's right.
You would be in jail. If I was one of these parents, you
okay,
would be in
fine.
Jail. Or
I go to
would
jail.
Be in jail.
All right, that's fine. I go to jail and your son hates you. Okay, fine.
Why would his son hate him?
Because the son knows who was right. He knows Coach was trying to help him. And his father put Coach in jail. Okay, great. Fine. That'd be the last time you and I ever talked.
Well, whatever. Listen, thank you very much for your call, Brent. 877-876-PHIL. Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, I don't know who we were talking to, but it was somebody.
It was a guy named Brent.
Was it?
Yeah. Phil, I just want to clear up one thing. Yes, if you want to call the police, you can put me in jail. But as I said to that last man, there'll be a whole bunch of young boys watching me get thrown into a squad car, maybe even hogtied face down. And they'll be on my side, and they'll turn around and look at their parents, and they'll be thinking the thoughts that only those little kids in Village.
You all right?
They'll be thinking thoughts that only those little kids in Village of the Dam could think.
All right, we'll be back with Coach Vernon Dozier, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
forgive me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier with us for the last few minutes. What is the... I need the answer to the question, Mr. Dozier, as we are talking to a lot of parents here about you giving alcohol to 13 and 12 and 11-year-old little leaguers to help them, quote, man up, to help them feel like men. What is your legal rationale?
Henry, I had explained this to you earlier.
And well, I don't believe you had.
Well, then allow me, please, to do it again, sir. If you take a child to a movie theater, you are allowed to take that child into an R-rated film if there is an adult present. So it's R-rated, means 18 or over, unless accompanied by an adult. In the serving of a cold, well, I can't believe you. You're one of these guys. You wouldn't let a man have a cold beer?
I'm asking you about giving it to 13-year-old.
If there is an adult present, you're accompanied by an adult.
You can't take a kid into a bar and drink a beer.
No, you can't do that. But if you buy it, if you fly, you buy. Now, you've heard that term, right?
Yeah.
All right. The kids will say, you fly, or rather, yeah, you fly, we'll buy. The kids had ponied up something like $30, and I looked at them and I said, what's going on? They said, if you fly, we'll buy. And I said, all right. And that's when Jeff Cope went and got it. Now, Mr. Hendry, I was with the Mackay Indian in Washington State. I went out with them when they went whaling. Now, the Mackay Indian obviously has some very ancient traditions that go back hundreds of years. Well, I got something to tell you, and I'm going to say this to all the people out there that think they know all about Indians. Guess what? I went out with them, and they had a 50 caliber. That's how they aced that whale. They put a whale on ice with a 50 cal, and I loved it. I loved it. You know why I loved it? Because that's evolution. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, you like the fact that the Mackay Indian uses a 50 caliber to kill a whale, so that means we've evolved to the point where we give kids beer.
Not kids beer. The kid that's been in the Little League World Series.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Keith in Louisville, Kentucky. Keith, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Vern, you need to quit coaching, and here's why, buddy. Your era has passed. It's passed. There was a time in this country when, you know, a 7-year-old kid could walk up and buy a pack of cigarettes. The world doesn't agree with that anymore. You've already said, you know, they got Vernon Dozier Stadium, they got all this.
Yes, they do.
Retire.
Yeah.
Stop. This is not the way we do things in this country and in the world today.
So
you know,
we don't win
anymore. 13-year-old kids do not need
right,
to hear to feel like a man.
We don't
what
win
they
anymore.
Need,
all right.
They
I'm
need,
glad you told
someone
me.
To, they need someone to teach them to hone their skills, work as a team, and, hey, if they lose, learn how to deal with that loss.
I got a great idea. How about if we just not keep score, too? They're doing that now at the T-ball level. Why don't we just do that through all the – why don't we do that? Why don't we just turn into a bunch of – why don't we just turn into a bunch of, you know, silly – oh, sir – You want everybody, you don't want to keep score. You want everyone to kiss and make up after a ball game. I want my kids mad. And what's the best way to get them angry?
Burn
your after their first beer.
I would say from listening to you talk that you're at least my age. I'm 50. Maybe you're a little older. I would say
I'm 39.
They're not your kids anymore. Step back. Raise some grandkids. But let,
you know,
let
that
younger
is such
people
a, such a cheap
that are
put
more
down.
In
that's
touch
a,
in tune
cheap
with
put
the
down
world
calling somebody old. You know, that you might as well say that I can't coach because I'm black. Go ahead, say it. That's what you're saying.
I think
yeah,
you can't
yeah.
coach because you're not in touch with the world today, Vern.
You said I'm old, and that's the same thing as saying I'm a Mexican. So, friend, yeah.
Well, how is that saying it's the same thing as a Mexican?
Because that's ageism. Ageism. Ever heard of it? That's the new one now.
I face it every day,
I can't
coach. All I do is accept it.
I don't care about you, sir. You can lay down and die if that's what you want to do. Me? I got a couple of more laughs I'm going to squeeze out of this world. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't think that's what the gentleman's saying. I think he's saying if you want to keep coaching, you got to get in touch with what's happening. And what's happening is, you know, you just aren't teaching kids how to drink beer anymore. Here's Brent in Redding, California. Brent, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you guys
doing? I'm teaching them how to drink beer.
Good.
I'm teaching them how to win.
Hey.
All right.
You know, the thing is that, you know, having a beer when you're 13, that's up to a parent. You know, if parents want to parent their kids like that, if they want to give their children beer, that's up to them. You know, you overstep some bounds by doing that. And the most
I gave a kid a beer. What about the kid whose mom's a train wreck?
Excuse me, sir. The most disturbing thing is how righteous you seem to feel about it. You know, you've got stadiums in your name. I'm sure you're a great coach. But this doesn't give you the right to give children beer, you know, or whatever else you like to do. You know, it's not right.
When you reach a certain level. Well, when you reach a certain level, when they name the ballpark after you, you are entitled to certain things that others are not entitled to.
You are not entitled to that.
Even giving a kid a beer?
No, you are not entitled to that.
All right, then what's it mean to have a stadium named after you? I'll tell you what. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
Oh, you hung up.
No kidding. Is that what that was?
Phil Hendry.
I'm just...